Good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio, streaming to you live from the studios at CJRU, the Scope at Ryerson, Toronto, Canada, for June 2nd, 2015. Song Talk Radio is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters all about the craft of songwriting. And today's kind of a wacky day because everything is going crazy. It's madness. It's Thunderdome. We don't have a guest, and right now we don't even have Bruce, but at least Neil's here, and Neil Modi is here.
I'm the responsible one.
That's right. But, of course, we always want to hear back from you, so please let us know what you think at feedback@songtalk.ca, and you can send us your thoughts on the show via Twitter during the show, and you can send that to Song Talk Radio. Are you using the hashtag Song Talk? You can stop by our YouTube channel and see all the various live performances that we've had on the show over the years. And, of course, you can stop by our website at songtalk.ca and find out how you can be a guest on the show. And I think that's it. I don't even have my notes right now. It's just total
mayhem. This is a completely upside down day.
I know it is. It's the anything can happen
anything
show.
Anything can happen show.
Because we actually are waiting for Bruce, so Bruce should be
yes.
here.
Yes, and shortly we're actually going to be on TV too, aren't we? Since anything can happen.
That's right.
And we have our major film release coming out soon.
Oh, don't tell people about
that. Oh darn! Sorry about that.
That's okay. Right.
Stay tuned for the trailer.
Sandra Bullock is going to get very upset. You know.
Well,
what she's
I mean,
like.
She's getting top billing, so she better be happy.
Boy, that was a.
Yeah, but in the meantime, before the TV show and the movie, you can also check us out on iTunes podcast directory.
That's right.
And Stitcher.
Stitcher.com.
Stitcher.com.
Which has 22,001 podcasts.
Wow. How many does iTunes have? More?
I have quite a few.
Quite a few. Apple doesn't release that information.
I'd say at least 10.
At least 10, I'm sure. And of course, there's also the YouTube channel where you can check out all the performances of songwriters
yes.
that perform
yes.
live in the studio.
Yep.
That's cool.
That's good.
So what do we got in store today, Philly?
Well, it's going to be an all, theoretically, it's going to be an all-host show. Right now, it's a mostly host show.
Right.
Our guest has gotten lost somewhere, so we're going to be just playing some of our own tracks and talking about how we wrote them and other general songwriting stuff.
Cool.
So, Neil, what have you been doing the past week, music-wise?
Music-wise, well, actually, I started a collaboration. I started a song. I wrote the lyrics for a song several months ago. Mm-hmm. And I deliberately wrote them for a male voice and a female voice. And,
oh,
I knew,
cool.
and I knew I wanted it to be some kind of a theatrical type thing, right?
Right, right.
And then when I heard that, then it just sort of sat there on the back burner for a long time. And
no, but hold on. Why did you decide this? Did you just sort of wake up one morning and go, oh, gee, I'm going to write this song with two different voices? Or?
No, actually, I still am. I have a friend who's actually an opera singer. And I wrote it basically
Sonia.
For... No, not Sonia. This is someone else.
Oh.
And
Sorry,
someone I met. No, Sonia's coming up. I met a couple of years ago, and she's an incredible opera singer. Her name's Kira Braun, and I wrote it with that in mind. That I would eventually, once I wrote the music, I would give it to her, and she could find one of her colleagues, male colleagues, to do a duet with. And then when I heard that Sonia and Bruce were doing some collaborations, I heard them sing together. I was like, these guys are pretty good together.
Oh, cool!
And I thought, well, why don't I just share it with them and see if we can come up with some music together? So we jammed it out at Sonia's place, and Sonia and I came up with a chord pattern together, and she kind of wrote this melody, and Bruce joined in and wrote part of his melody.
Oh, nice!
And stuff like that. And I made little notes on the sheet music or on my lyric sheet about what the chords were, and then I proceeded to lose the sheet.
No way.
So over the weekend I was listening to the recording and trying to figure out what the chords were, and actually it didn't take me too long. Actually, I managed to figure it out.
So you had to learn your own
song.
I had to learn
my own song. I was like, what chord was that? Okay, all right, I got that.
Well, I guess a good exercise.
Yeah, it's a good exercise for the year and for
just
sort of figuring it out. And because some of them, like, we made quite a key shift in the middle of that song, so I had to kind of figure out where that middle section went to. It's not in the same key as the original chord.
Wow. So, you know, you're going to find the piece of paper now after you figured it all out.
Inevitably. I'm sure it'll show up tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
exactly.
And your notes, and what you figured out will be all wrong.
I certainly hope not.
Well, that's great. So yeah. What's the next step with that?
The next step with that is, so we wrote it just on piano. So now I'm going to go back and really wield the orchestral plugins I have on my computer and write a full like brass and slamming drums and strings and all that sort of,
oh, cool.
You know, highly kinetic energy, you know.
Wow.
It's supposed to be, I'm terming it a popera song. So it's like half pop, half
opera.
Well, it's like a 3.5-minute song.
Yeah, right? it's great, actually. Well, you know, I went down to New York the only time I've been there, and went to the Met and saw Carmen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, of course, you know, so you're the best of the best.
Yeah, yeah.
The number of hits that came out of that opera is amazing. Like, I knew pretty well every song. And I don't listen to, well, I don't really listen to opera.
Yeah, I don't listen to opera at all. And actually, the friend I was talking about, Kira Braun, she was one of the players in a production of Carmen just a few months ago.
Oh, wow.
And I went to go see it. That was the first time I saw it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know that tune. I know that tune, too. I know that tune. I've heard this before.
admittedly, I've heard them all on the Bugs Bunny show.
Yeah, that's probably where they came from.
But that's good for you. Yeah, also, we want to have another shout-out to our Twitter specialist, Janice Ho.
Yes.
Janice, hope you're feeling better soon. We do miss you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it gets really stinky in here without you, so.
That's right. She livens up the room.
Yes.
For sure.
I've been doing an interesting experiment. I run my own business, and so theoretically I'm supposed to be able to actually take time off whenever I choose.
Mm-hmm. Whatever your clients choose.
Yeah. So what I've been doing is I've been trying to take off every Wednesday.
Right.
And just work on music.
That's a great idea.
And not, you know, because normally I'll come home and I'll do music in the evenings or on the weekends.
And most of us.
Yeah. And like most of us. And it's like my energy is in the mornings. And that's when I'm most productive. That's when I'm sharpest. And I figured, you know, when I'm 78, I'm not going to be looking back and thinking, gee, I wish I worked more, you know,
true.
When I have, you know, the energy and the time to do it now, I'm going to do it now.
Yeah.
So I've done it twice, because things keep on coming up on Wednesday. So,
right.
So it's going to be either Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay.
Wednesdays or Thursdays. But when I do it, I don't do it just 9 to 5. I actually wind up doing it until, like, you know, midnight that time. So
really?
That's a full time.
You should get on a roll. Cause,
yeah.
Well, it's amazing when you're well rested and you feel, you know, like you've allocated the time to do this and you feel like doing it and you get some ideas spinning around. And yeah, once you get into that zone, you can spend hours there.
Well, and that's the thing. And I think, you know, when Alon was here and he was writing a song a day, and I think even Eric.
Is he doing that as well?
Yeah, I think he was working, trying to work, do a song a day.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, even though he was saying that sometimes the results weren't great, having your brain sort of in that ready state is really important. And it's very hard to do it when you're doing music on a part-time basis.
Yeah, you know? Well, especially if you're trying to make a career out of it. Like, you have to be able to just drop a song
and deliver at
short notice, right?
Yeah.
So those of us who just treat it as a hobby, we can't get away with, you know, months without any songwriting. But
yes,
it's a good practice to keep moving.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I've been working on a couple of new tunes, and as per usual, I've written the song, and I'm still working on the lyrics. My lyrics are so slow.
Yeah, you got to sign up for a songwriting course on Coursera.
Of course, yes, that sounds just
Pat
brilliant.
Patterson. Because he's got some good tools on there.
And ladies and gentlemen, I wish we had some of that that theme music from the talk shows. Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Herriot. He's got a coffee.
And we've locked him out.
Anything can happen. It's mayhem. Da-da-da-da-da.
Enter Bruce.
Da-da-da. Thanks. Hi, guys.
Hey, thanks for putting down your coffee, Bruce. Why do you have a cup? Oh, it's water.
It's water.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey. Where's vodka? Hey.
Sorry about that. You know the limousine that Ryerson gives each of us before the show?
Mine didn't show up. Ryerson gives us a limo?
Yeah, mine didn't show up tonight. I don't know
what. Tell him.
Oh, sorry. anyway, yeah.
I had to take the TTC. What is it?
So here's a tip if you're in radio. If you're going to have a nap, have it at the station.
yeah. It's quite comfortable. The carpet here is impeccably clean.
Yeah.
So, you know, lay next, down some...
Actually, it is.
Next time I'll just have a nap here. Yeah,
you can wrap yourself in the red curtain as a blanket.
Nice.
That's right.
Nice.
So we've been talking. Of course, this is our now it's fully the all host show.
Yeah, three for three.
Yes, even though Janice isn't here. So what did you do last week, music wise?
Oh, is that what we're checking in on?
Yeah, we're just talking about our endeavors.
Well, I'm going to do a recording session with the Song Talk band.
Song Talk Radio Backup Band.
That's it. Yeah, that's us. And with Neil on drums, Phil on bass. And I've been talking to my two guitar players, Eric Sorensen and Braden Mitchell. And so I went and did a demo with, what's it called, a scratch track or just a demo guide track with Eric. And then I spoke to Braden and talked about an arrangement. He was going to get put in GarageBand and put a lead over it and send it to me just to see if it fit. So I'm doing some preparation for the big recording.
That's way to do it. Yeah,
recording session on June the 7th.
That's when you have a plan.
Yeah.
that's this Sunday, isn't it?
That's this Sunday. Yeah. We're going to be doing that.
Yeah, it's the 7th.
And then
yeah.
I'm going to do an audio recording and a video recording of it.
Yeah.
So that'll go up on Song Talk Radio's YouTube channel.
Yeah, we've done that twice before with two other artists.
Yeah,
so,
once with Anna and once with Janice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
That'll be great.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
It's fun.
So, yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that. And, looking forward to it.
Yes. All right. Well, I guess we need to figure out who's going to play whose track is going to go first.
What do you think? You're the host, Phil. You decide.
Why don't we do yours, Neil?
Okay.
And because you actually brought lyrics and chord sheets.
That's right.
And I brought nothing.
I brought some.
Okay, brought stuff except me. So I'm sure there'll be a meeting after the show.
Don't feel bad.
So I'll just introduce the song a little bit. This is called One Great Mistake, and this is on my... album that I just released last fall called Counterfeit Lampshades. You can download it at music.mamf.ca for free. And this track, actually, I wrote a couple years ago. This came from a webinar that they had on Facebook by a Nashville-based singer-songwriter named Alex Forbes, who's a woman, Alex. And she was talking about that kind of... I mean, I'm always calling this like the Nashville... attitude towards writing a song, where you know you take an idea, something she phrased it as something that you're concerned about or something that you have a strong opinion on,
right?
And then develop a title out of that, and then develop a chorus out of that, and then kind of develop your lyric out of that. So by the end of the webinar, basically, I had most of this lyric done.
All right.
And then after that, I figured, well, given the way that I wrote the lyric, it kind of suggested just a really straight up the middle kind of rock and roll piece, right?
Oh, cool.
So that's the kind of way I wrote it. There's no funny time signatures. There's no funny experimentation going on here. It's just literally a straight up the middle rocker.
It has a great bridge, though.
Yes.
So listen to the bridge, because the bridge is really cool.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. That's cool. All right, let's have a listen.
Thought, but take just one step and you're bedridden for months. It's become second nature. You take the wheel most every day, but one distraction later, twisted metal, body decay. One great mistake, that's all it takes. You gotta be careful to not bend, twist or break. The girl of your dreams, maybe your dreams were wrong. Spend your life in regret. It doesn't have to be so long. It's a game of subtle speech. Be careful what you say. You can fold under the pressure and kiss your future away. One great mistake, that's all it takes. You gotta be store break. careful to not bend, twist, or break. One great mistake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was One Great Mistake by Neil Modi.
Thank you.
On Song Talk Radio, streaming to you live from the studios at CJRU, The Scope at Ryerson, Toronto, Canada. What? Yeah, this was a great song.
We actually jammed on this song once, didn't we, Phil?
Yes,
in
that's right.
In the Rehearsal Factory, yeah, it was
that's
fun.
That's right, that was fun. What I liked is there's a couple of lines that are really Morrissey-like, which I really love.
Morrissey? Like Smith Morrissey?
Yeah. Meet the girl of your dreams. Maybe your dreams are wrong. What a great line.
How pessimistic is that, eh?
This is about getting in an accident when you drive drunk, or just...
Well,
it's just walking around.
Well,
walking
it's around? It's about the idea that...
One misstep.
Yeah, like in anything that you do can end up altering your life. Like one little mistake that you make in your life can alter it forever, right?
Twisted metal and body decay. Ooh. Yeah, so that would be like is that an image of a car accident or just could be a car accident?
Yeah, it could be a car accident. Yeah, that's the general idea, is that that whole verse is about, like, you know, we take the steering wheel every day in a car and we don't realize what a risk we're taking when we do that. And all it takes is one split second of distraction.
Walking down the street.
Or something, or even just walking down the street. And you could, you know, break your leg or something, and that's really going to turn your life upside down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's...
Life is fragile.
Exactly.
Well, it's like, I know people... A friend of mine, she was walking with her kids in a forest, you know, kind of ravine place.
Yeah.
And her kid, you know, picked up a stick and was, you know, kind of swinging around and hit her leg.
Mm.
And she said, oh, ouch, don't do that. And then apparently there's some weird bacteria on that stick, and she got, and yeah, she almost died.
Holy crap.
You know.
You just never know, right?
Yeah, you know, just like from a stick.
Yeah.
You know, it's really scary. But I really love the bridge of this song.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, the bridge, was that? Did you have to work on that a lot, or?
I would say a lot. I did give it some thought for sure. I thought, I especially wanted, arrangement wise, I wanted a section that was kind of a little bit more spacious, because the verse and chorus were both very driving and very full-ish sounding.
Yeah, you changed up the tempo there, right?
No, the tempo is the same. It's just a little bit more. The guitar is muted,
right,
as opposed to ringing out.
Yeah.
And just arrangement wise, it's a little bit more doom 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 doom, as opposed to the rest of the song, which is more like da 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 da.
Yeah.
It's really in your face, right? Yeah. So I wanted that for sure, but then also wanted something that that kind of took the perspective out a little bit, like a little bit more global view.
Right.
Because the rest of the verses were kind of these relatively intimate kind of stories.
Right, very close, specific,
But then the bridge, I was like, well, that's the way we're made. It's a delicate, precarious balance.
That's a great line, a delicate, precarious balance. That's another. And also, like, I just love the, but that's the way that we're made. It not only is really hooky, but it really... The rest of your verse lyrics are very straight ahead in terms of,
you know,
and that has these nice little holes in it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean about making it more spacious.
More space. Yeah, it's pretty lyric heavy throughout. And just for you people at home, we're looking for key signatures. We got an A minor, D, and an E throughout the verse. Mm-hmm. F, C, and G, and A minor on the refrain or chorus. And then we go to, what is it, key of B there? F sharp?
B major in the bridge.
B major in the bridge. So you got quite a shift there.
Yeah.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's and I like the Fulter Once and All Will Vanish, that the way you came out of the bridge.
Yeah,
which is nice, because it set up the last chorus. You know, the only thing is, I felt that the line, and kiss your future away, like, it would be nice if it was bigger.
Oh, just to cap off
kiss
the last
future
verse.
Away, well, yeah, just because it seems to, you know, because it seemed a little bit...
Like the sort of, like, you want the melody to kind of go up a little bit,
or just bigger, like just sort of more there.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah.
To build through the bridges, through the verses. You mean have a bigger?
No, just on that one line. Just on that one line. Just in the "and kiss your future away."
Yeah.
Because that's really what the whole song's about.
Yeah, I suppose that is true. That's true.
Well, it's interesting because I know one of the Nashville ways of working is to come up with a title and work from the title. But you worked from a concept.
Well, I worked from the concept. The concept led me to the title, and then the lyric came after that. The chorus was pretty much the first thing I wrote.
Hmm.
Right. So it was very. But the advantage to doing it title based, or at least idea and title based, is that when you get around to writing your verses, you always got that in the back of your mind, that is the focal point of the song. So when you write your verses, it enabled me to really write the lyric in a very focused way.
Hmm. Yeah,
I think, right.
And then the chorus is the thesis.
Yeah, the chorus is essentially the thesis.
And then you have the various supports.
Exactly.
That's cool. I never thought of it like that.
Yeah,
that's an interesting way of doing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've sort of come up with neat titles, but they're neat because the words are neat. Not necessarily because the concept is neat. It's just, I like the play of words, or it sounds
right. And that's the first thing that Alex Forbes said on the webinar, is that it has to be something personal to you, or something that you have a strong opinion on, or something you experienced in a deep and profound way, or in a dramatic way, even whatever. Mm. It's got to be something that you can latch onto, and you got some meat behind it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, passion.
Yeah, our passion.
So what's the passion behind this for you, the precariousness of life? What does it mean to you?
It's nothing that I've necessarily experienced myself, you know, knock on wood. But
the ceiling's falling.
Yeah, the sky is falling. But to me, it was sort of philosophically for me, it was always kind of an interesting concept that you know, you always hear about these things. Like Phil just had a story himself. Everyone knows somebody who had... You know, something happened.
Close call.
Yeah. Or a close call.
I have.
You know?
Many times.
It's just an interesting idea about how we're always kind of living on the edge to a certain extent.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we were talking with Blair Packham when he was on the show about, you know, writing from the head and writing from the heart. Yeah. And I think because Blair's such a songwriter, I mean, he's really about the craft and the fine details and the, you know, that almost master kind of workmanship, that he felt that he had sort of wandered into writing too much in the head.
Yeah.
And I think I do that as well. I mean, I think that might be one of the reasons I do have trouble with lyrics, because, you know, I'm starting off with sort of an abstract concept as opposed to a feeling.
You start with the melody, though, or the chord progression.
Yeah, I start with, like, I do all the music. Music is easy for me. It's the
That's
words.
That's why you should write the lyric first. That's what I found.
Well, then I'd never write anything. You're doing, like, one song
Discipline.
A year.
But then you're not distracted by the music. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
But,
maybe you could do a co-write on the lyric and then add the music to that. Just an idea.
Yeah.
Right? But do you guys feel this is a heart song or a head song? Or somewhere in between?
It's philosophical, kind of. Yeah. And it sounds like you're passionate about it. I mean, the driving nature of the track gives it heart.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like a light sort of philosophical song, right? It's pretty hard driving, but So what's the message of the precariousness of life? Life is living's fatal.
Yeah. Well, living can be fatal.
So what's the message for you, though? Is just to be cautious, or just be aware? Does it lead to anything positive, or just to fear?
Well, I think the chorus kind of encapsulates it. One great mistake, that's all it takes. You got to be careful not to bend, twist, or break.
All right.
Like you just have to be, you have to be a little careful. You have to watch out. You have to be vigilant.
Like when I almost walked into a streetcar in Toronto going full speed, I was not aware. Like I just was saying goodbye to someone, and I turned and I felt the breeze of the streetcar going full speed right by my nose.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, I just went, wow. And you can always, you can kind of remember them, right? Like, they're kind of scary like that. And I think, you know, you don't want those things to make you so scared that you're not going to take chances in life and go out and live life.
Yeah, exactly.
But just to be aware.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to take the song a step even further, it's really about how we're all kind of, we can all be distracted. Like when you almost got hit by a streetcar, you were probably thinking about something else. You weren't living in the present moment. You were...
right.
somewhere else. I remember once I was walking up Yonge Street and I was frustrated. All the pedestrians in front of me were walking so slow. So I quickly stepped off the curb to go and pass them like I've done a billion times before. And a cyclist went with, he was like, look out!
Wow.
And had to weave around me. And he was going top speed. If he had hit me,
yeah, that would
have been...
Over.
People have been hurt by collision with bikes. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, look at the time.
I know.
Time's flying.
It is. So for those of you just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio, streaming to you live from the Scope at Ryerson in Toronto, Canada. Song Talk Radio is a show with songwriters talking to other songwriters all about the craft of songwriting. And we want to always hear your thoughts, so please send us your thoughts, complaints, and corrections to feedback@songtalk.ca. You can follow us and send us a message on Twitter at Song Talk Radio or using the hashtag Song Talk, and we'll share your thoughts live on the show. And stop by our YouTube channel and see the live performances that have happened on the show over the years. You can also stop by our website at songtalk.ca and find out how you can be a guest on the show. And don't forget to stop by the iTunes store, a podcast listing for Song Talk Radio. Leave a review there so that other people can find the show. And that makes us very, very happy. And of course, you can find us on Stitcher as well. And coming up on next Song Talk Radio is some other guests, and I don't have my notes, but I'm sure they're going to be great.
Oh, okay.
Do you know who they are?
Yeah, I think Bruce is going to play a song.
Well, Bruce is going to be playing.
Yeah. I always talk about myself in the third person. Do you notice how kids do that? They say, you know, like little Jimmy goes, Jimmy's hungry. So Bruce is going to play a song. Am I supposed to introduce myself? I'm going to talk about the song?
Yeah. Oh, no, I thought you said about the song's coming up.
Oh, show's coming up,
yes.
You mean? Oh, I thought you said song's coming up. I don't know. There's good shows coming
up. Oh, good
up.
Boy, it's going to be something.
I actually have a list here. If you'll hang on just a second, I think I have the playlist coming up.
Ooh.
It's possible. I brought all these lyrics for tonight.
And, you brought a lot of lyrics.
Oh, yeah. Look at... Oh, there's shows from the past. You know what? I think I left it on my desk. Anyway, you got good shows coming up.
It'll be something, boy.
It won't be me. I'm going to sing something now, I think. What do you think? Should I?
I think you should.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay. Well, this song is off my first album and my only album. And... You know, I thought I'd do something on the theme of something I'm passionate about, and I don't really want to talk about it too much before. I'd like the listeners just to have their own experience of it, of what it means to them, and then we can kind of take it apart after, both in terms of its theme and its lyrics and all that sort of thing, right?
All right.
Breathe into your sadness and feel the pain. Breathe into your sorrow and cry, it's not in vain. The crying is the healing, the pain will wash away. I'm here for you, what more can I say? You're a survivor. Take hold of your anger, feel the rage. Let go of bitterness, it's time to turn the page. It's time for understanding, it's time for letting go. How long will it go on hurting? Well, I just don't know, I just don't know. You're a survivor. You're stronger than you think. Just look at where you've been. You made it through the nightmare nights, and now you're back again. Look, here comes the light, healing light of dawn. Morning is a promise and the
world is moving on. Oh, the clouds have disappeared. The sky is big and blue, and all you know, I will stay with you. I will stay with you. Cause you're a survivor. Sadness and feel the pain. Breathe into your sorrow and cry, it's not in vain. The crying is the healing, the pain will wash away. I'm here for you. What more can I say? Survivor. Like me.
Lovely.
What are you doing?
Thank you.
It's
thank you.
It's interesting you have you put your bridge in the middle of the song.
Yeah. Isn't that where it goes? I don't know. It just seems well, to want to go there.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It's
is it usually towards the end or?
Well, it's usually just before the last
refrain.
But it works well because, of course, you repeated the first verse, which I thought was really good because it definitely kind of helps cement the song in people's heads, which I thought was quite good. Mm. And
when you repeated the first verse, it's a cap to the end of the song.
Yeah.
Which if you're going to do that, that's kind of the only way to do it. Like, if you do it too early, then it...
Yeah. You know, and I noticed there's not much of a chorus. It's just your survivor is the chorus.
I kind of like the chorus in how much space is around that one line. It's kind of fascinating, right? Yeah. It's just, like, you could almost imagine an arrangement where, you know, there's some gospel singers in the background or something.
Hey, you know what?
Like that,
I did
right?
this with a choir, and that's exactly what they did.
Right.
As I sang Your Survivor, they went, we wrote new lyrics, and they went, you will make it through the night. This four-part, 60-part.
Yeah. Nice.
And it was different. Somebody
different.
Said it sounded like an Elton John song all of a sudden.
Yeah. But when you leave that, I mean, usually...
I like the space, though.
Well, and usually a chorus is stronger and thicker and bigger.
But mine's quieter.
Yours is quieter and quite minimal, which is really kind of cool. Yeah. But it really brings a focus to that one, to the title.
Yeah.
You know, and putting some holes in some music so that people can actually find themselves, I think is really important.
Yeah.
And I think it's really easy to think that you have to fill up every minute of your song with words or melody or something. And you don't necessarily have to do that, you know.
Silence is golden.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what's beautiful about little instrumental breaks, too. And you notice I had a lot of full stops in there, right?
Because
it's a pretty serious subject, and I thought people need time to take a break from the lyric content and maybe take a breather, just take it in, you know? And I didn't want it to be, I want it to be kind of not a, it was really written for somebody, right?
Right.
Who was going through a rough time. I can tell you a bit about the story. It was odd because I was on a train to Moncton, New Brunswick, and it was 1994, and I was heading to the college and campus college radio conference for that year for all of Canada.
Oh.
All the stations in Canada that were campus college college community. That's what it's called, right? This is a community campus college, right? So anyway, the two C's, campus and community radio, just like Ryerson, and everybody was coming to this thing, and we were sitting on this train late at night, and this young woman started telling me a story about her survival of abuse in this case, and I thought, it was about a month later or so, and I thought, what could I say to her? I mean, I didn't know what to say. I was speechless, right? And so I kind of took some stuff from my own life of getting over things and thought, here's my message to you for healing, right? That's a hopeful message. That you'll get through it, you'll go through stages, you'll move on eventually, and crying is good, you know, in terms of letting your emotions go through you. And mm-hmm, pass through mm-hmm. you, right?
Well, and it's very clear. What's nice about this is that I think the message is really clear. I mean, it's not I think it's a little bit poetic. I mean, it's not exactly, you know, as you say, I don't think people would sit there and say, hey, Bruce, breathe into your sadness and feel the pain. You know,
what are you talking about there?
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, I'm pretty straight ahead in my lyrics.
Yeah. And this is a little bit more poetic, but it's still very clear, which is always a hard thing to find. What do you think?
Yeah, just on that point, I think Bruce, what Phil is saying is that, you know, you're always talking about this on the show, is that you, when you read a lyric, you want to be able to read it the same way that someone would say it in conversation.
Yes.
But the way you've actually written this, that it's, when he says poetic, is it's not how you would say it in conversation. Mm-hmm. It still makes sense, and it still mm-hmm. has grammar and all that stuff, but they're like little snippets, little phrases mm-hmm. that somehow culminate together into a theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's very
which is nice that way.
Yeah, right? I mean, there's lots of feeling to the song, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you worked with a producer on this, right?
No, I produced it myself when I did the recording.
This one? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Right.
This, I did a recording in Vancouver of 10 songs, which are on my album called Nipigon, Nipigon. It's everywhere on the internet, Bruce Harrett, Nipigon. I didn't have a producer per se. I had to fire the producer after the second day.
Oh, no.
it was my first album, and he was actually engineer/producer. And so I don't want to go into why he was fired, but it was a pretty challenging first recording because I was producing basically the whole thing. And I had hired the musicians, I'd gotten the studio, and the studio had suggested this dude, and he just was not working out. So I made this really difficult decision. I mean, just it was the end of the first day of laying down the bed tracks, and I just said, you're out of here, and I produced it from then on in. And I used a house engineer who was a great guy, very supportive, and I did have the lead guitarist on this he did the arrangements for me. So basically I went into his studio and I played my songs and he recorded them just rough track. And then he decided what instruments to use. We just had all of his guitars and a bass and drums. He played about 7 different guitars, multi-track recording.
Oh, wow.
And, and I sang and, but it was a time in my life when I was going through a kind of a midlife crisis. There was a lot of emotional stuff going on in my life. I was, dealing with my own stuff. And songwriting seemed to, in fact, it's kind of funny. I think it was Fredericton, New Brunswick. It doesn't matter. But anyway, we're in Fredericton. And I instinctively knew I had to go buy a guitar because my guitar had left my life somehow, and it was part of the problem.
Oh,
I wasn't playing music at all for about the 10 years before. So I went down to the local music store in Fredericton, and I said, I want a guitar, and there it is right there. There it is, the 1994 guitar,
right.
Seagull, and the case, and give me a Neil Young book and a couple others. And I went back, and I wrote about 100 songs over the next year or so and then recorded these. But,
oh, cool.
Anyway, so I'm it's one of the songs I'm most fond of in terms of performing because I can get into it.
Yeah, no, it's a great little tune and really nicely written.
If there's one suggestion I'd have for this song, Bruce,
yep.
if you were to ever look at it again, the bridge I found could have been a little bit more bridgey. Like it could have had a little more contrast.
Yeah, I'm using the same chords as in the verse.
Right? Yeah, like if you're basically in the key of E for the verse and the chorus, mm-hmm. you know, you could go to a B major or to a, you know, you go into the fourth, I guess. I don't know. I mean, you know, like and I think in terms of the melody phrasing, it was kind of similar to the verse.
Yeah,
and you know the idea as well. You're stronger than you think. Just look at where you've been. You made it through the nightmare nights, and now you're back again. It's nice and poetic, but you're not really saying anything different as opposed to the rest of the song. So maybe that's an opportunity. And it's nice that it's two lines. It gives mm-hmm. you an opportunity there to really kind of do something extra special there.
Well, that's what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea.
You know,
it's more a bridgey lyric. It's more like a actual bridge because the verse before it is it's going to go on hurting. You don't know how long. And then the bridge actually is like another verse because it's saying you're going to get over it and you're back. You'll get through. And then look, here comes the light. So I didn't really use it as a bridge in terms of sometimes typically the lyric goes to another point of view or something.
Yeah.
So I hear what you said. I could almost write another verse there if I'm not going to.
Well, I mean, when you describe it like that, almost to me, it almost sounds like a pre-chorus because then if you're building up to that, what are you building up to? You're building up to you're a survivor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
I mean, it might be nice to actually bring it back in, you know, for a second time before the last
Because the positioning, but, like Phil, you said that right off the bat, the positioning of that bridge is really unusual because it's after the first chorus.
No, I didn't say it's bad, but it's different.
It's different.
You could bring it back in before the last verse.
Yeah.
You know, because it is kind of, because it does, you know, it's not so different that it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it does kind of, it would actually set up this, because you go into the sort of the ringing chords.
Yes.
On the first two lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could work.
You know. But again, it's a nice simple little tune. I mean, it's not simple, but it's clean and, you know,
clean and fresh.
Yes.
Not too heavy.
Not too
heavy. The thing I learned about, you know, heavy songs from other people I was working with at the time is like, you can't write a fairly heavy song on a heavy subject and make it slow and make the instruments heavy. Like, it's just too much, kind of like, and the tempo as well, right? Like, I wrote a song on my album that's about people dying. It was back in the days of AIDS, HIV. And I wanted to write a song about people dying, but we pushed it up tempo. It had a really stirring chorus. I put some harmonies on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a song you could listen to about something terrible happening, but not feeling hopeless about it.
Yeah,
in a sense that music can lift you up and say,
right,
you know, we're going to carry on, basically, right? And those are the great songs that are really sorrowful to me, have hope in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I was with the producer early on, Caroline, you know, my song Caroline. The original ending was really a downer.
Mm.
And he said, is that your philosophy of life, that things are bad and they get worse? And I said, absolutely not. And he said, go rewrite the ending and come back in the studio in an hour.
Oh, nice.
and we did, and I came up with a much better ending.
That's what's actually great about this song, is that if you just had the verses and stuff, it's kind of... It is a little bit on the dark side. There's a lot of sorrow and kind of melancholy and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the chorus totally brings it home to a positive image. You're a survivor.
Yeah, you made it.
So, that's nice.
I think we should hear from one of our other hosts.
Yes, I know.
Who's left?
I think it's me.
But before we do, I actually managed to call up the guests for the next few weeks.
Oh, great.
On my handy little phone here. So next week on June the 9th, we have Luciano Lombardi. Who was a regular at the Songwriters Meetup
he's
group.
He's a film music writer.
Yeah, he's done scores for film. He writes beautiful, epic piano music.
Show.
And like he has a CD of like meditative music for relaxing.
That's
and
great.
Kind of thing they use in yoga studios. Ooh. And
nice. Something a little different.
Something a little different, completely instrumental. And then on the 16th of June, we have a local singer-songwriter, Melanie Peterson. And then on the 23rd of June, we have Jade Nareen.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So going to be some good shows coming up. Next week should be really good. It'll be a nice change.
Yeah, for sure.
What did you bring, Phil?
I brought a track from the Parkdale Hookers' second CD. Echo.
Who were the Parkdale Hookers, Phil?
The Parkdale Hookers were a Toronto rock punk band that was featured on the front page of the Toronto Star's business section.
Because you wore business suits.
Yes, we play loud, fast, punk music.
Wait, would you guys call it corporate punk?
Yes.
So
yeah,
cool.
their album cover has them all in business suits
business
with ties.
Suits. Yeah.
And then they play you'll hear it.
Yeah,
it's very funny.
Kind of,
So this was a song called Best Friend. And it was actually the first song I brought into the band when I joined.
Okay.
It was originally the guitarist's band, and he's just like this guy who's so easy to work with.
Mm.
And I said, you know, would you mind if I brought in some songs? And he said, sure. So this was the first one we actually did together.
Cool.
So it's called Best Friend.
Get-o-key.
And it's available on iTunes.
What's the name of the album?
Echo Bubble Overdrive.
Cool.
About these things I never said to you. At every step I need to get myself down from that shelf. I know you won't be staying. And I can tell you no time. No one ever meant that much to you. Just be my best friend tonight. Ooh.
All right, hey, that was the Park Jail Hookers with their number one hit, Best Friend, coming July from the stream, streaming live to you on CJRG with the Scope at Ryerson, Toronto, Canada.
That's really obnoxious.
What happened
that
to
voice,
Phil?
Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's
okay.
Phil's fake radio voice. Yeah. I think it was a really great song.
Like grooving.
Ed had a great Canadian hook there. Gung, 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 gung. It reminded me like of the old Guess Who or BTO.
Oh, cool.
Like just that hard driving thing there.
It kind of reminded me of Weezer.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Because Weezer. It's not, you know, when I think of punk, I don't think of punk as that sort of
musical.
Not too much loudness in it, right? So you can actually hear the lyrics. So I think of some of the punk I've listened to live, especially, I cannot hear any of the lyrics. And I can barely knocking me over, right? So you've got kind of like a businessman's punk there. Punk in a business suit, you know? Mm-hmm. But I liked it. It was, I couldn't get all the lyrics, but can you tell us a bit about what it's... you're not allowed to interview yourself, so
that's
I'm going to take over now. So tell us a bit about where the song came from.
I wrote the song... I play bass in the band. When I play in bands, I usually play bass just because I enjoy playing bass. Although I am a guitar player, and I fronted a band as a guitar player for many years. Mm-hmm. With the band, I started writing a lot on bass. So I wrote this on bass, which is really fun.
Well, tell the folks at home how you can write on bass, because I don't understand that at all.
Well,
it's not a chord. It's just a note. Notes.
Well, you have certain things.
Flexible.
I mean, this is, the verse chorus is 1, 3, and 4.
Okay.
So the three is sharp. It's not a flat three. So, you know, it's a major, right?
Okay.
You basically, you know, I'll come up with a bass riff, and then I'll put a melody on top of that. And the nice thing about that is because...
It's a riff, not a chord.
Yeah. Okay. You know, so I might be going dum 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 dum. You might just be doing two.
Right.
So
you got
notes,
the rhythm, and you got the key, and you got the changes.
Yeah, you got the changes.
There you
go.
And
the nice thing about that is when you play with a piano or with a guitar, when you play a chord, the chord suggests where the melody is going to be, which is one of the problems with when you've written a lot of songs, you start running out of ideas because you're always hearing the same voicing of the guitar, which is why it's a great idea to change the tuning of your guitar.
Mm-hmm. Well, but even if you're on piano or guitar, you can deliberately just do single notes and say, I'm going to write the bass line on the guitar or at least the root
notes. I've never
notes.
Tried that. Yeah. I like to try that sometimes.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Should I do it alone or should I have someone with me? Is it dangerous?
Yeah, Phil with you.
It's a little dangerous.
Maybe I'll do it with Phil sometime. Because I might give up.
But it also makes use of this, the technique the Police use a lot, which is you have sort of a slower verse. And then usually a double time chorus, and the guitarist and myself were huge Police fans. So we did that a lot because it's really effective and it's a great way of getting that energy up. For the verse.
What about the theme, the lyric theme, when you brought it to the lyric level? What were you about there?
I think at the time I was, you know, probably, hoping to find a girlfriend by somehow wandering around the streets and running into people, which generally doesn't work. And I think it was just thinking about being in a dating situation and, you know, being with someone who's maybe not that into you, but, you know.
She wants to be your friend.
Wants to be your friend, and maybe you're saying, well, you know, just be my best friend tonight, if you know what I mean.
Wink. What streets were you walking down? Never mind. Bad part of town.
Yes.
No, so it was that idea of a bit of a seduction. My friend, but be my best friend. Yeah,
but, you know, and it's all about, you know, it's sort of not being frustrated, you know, taken to my limit. I've been taken to extremes, you know. It does have one line that I was quite proud of. Every time I try to talk to you, I always get lost in the spaces and the words between.
Mm.
I know you don't actually say that, but I just love that kind of little wordplay. Fond of that.
So that they're, you know, lost love, almost love, unrequited love is a treasure trove for songwriting, of course, because there's a lot of feeling in it, a lot of strong feeling, a lot of passion. And I felt that in that song. Like, it was I thought it would be great live is what I was thinking to dance
absolutely.
to, right? Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, there's lots of great changes in it. Like you say, the double time chorus.
Yeah.
It just sort of opens the thing up and it's pretty cool. You had a bridge in there somewhere.
Yep. Of course.
Which was pretty neat.
I love the bridges.
Yeah, yeah.
What key did you go to in the bridge? Did you do a key change?
Did I?
Sounded like it might have been.
Yeah, it was 1-3-4, 1-4, and then we go to the 5 and the 6 for the verse, or for the chorus. We go on to the two, which is a minor.
Yeah.
So it is kind of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you tell
quite a shift there.
Phil, for the listeners at home, like me, who are not very up on theory, this business of a 1 and a 3 and a 5 and a 2, can you just maybe do a brief little lesson here? Because people have listened to my songs and going, oh, you're using a 1-3-5. I have no idea what that means. No idea.
Well, it's quite simple. It's they actually call it the Nashville method. Oh. And what it is you have the notes.
It was the Do-Re-Mi method.
So you have the notes of your scale from in the key. So you have
Do-Re-Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti,
yeah,
Do.
So right. So that'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So
that's all it is.
Well,
that's your starting point.
That's your starting point.
Okay, let's Phil explain.
So the root, if you're in a major key, would be major. The 2 chord would be is always minor.
Yeah.
The 3 chord is always minor. The 4 chord and the 5 chord are major. Sure. And the 6 chord is minor. And the 7 chord is
diminished.
I think it's actually an augmented. It's you could.
Yeah, well, let's give an example. There's a popular in pop music, rock and roll, C A minor, F and G. What's that?
C A minor.
1-6-4-5.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're in C, if you're in the key of C, your major scale is C D E F G A B C.
Okay.
That's your major scale, right?
Yep.
So the C is major. If you're gonna go to the 2, the D, that's D minor.
Oh.
If you're gonna go to the 3, E, that's E minor.
Because
F
the
major,
3 is always
G major, A minor, and B something funny.
Oh, that's good.
And what's great is because when I was playing in reggae bands, and I was playing full time, we'd do these really really long shows. And the thing is, we'd be doing, we do our normal set, and then they'd have all their friends from Jamaica coming up and doing the songs. And, of course, these are songs I'd never heard before. So they'd turn around saying, okay, we're in the key of A, it's 1-4-5, and then we go to the 6 in the bridge. And that's enough.
Right. It's short form.
And one of the nice things about that is that it doesn't get you too locked into the actual key.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're backing people up, especially singers, they're always wanting to move key changes up and down.
Yeah.
So if you think of chords as 1-3-5-4-6, you can actually move the key really, really easily.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really simple, and it's just, again, 1's major, 2 and 3 are minor, 4 and 5 are major, and 6 is minor, and 7 is augmented or diminished.
7th, you don't really, a lot of people don't even bother with a 7th, but...
It thinks so much of itself. It really does.
Well, as soon as you move to the 7th, that's when you start getting into jazzy chords. And
but I like the 7ths. They're the ones that were banned by the church in the early days, right?
Yeah, seventh,
odd chords.
No, the 7th chord and the 7th chord are different.
Oh, that's different.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a 7th chord is when you add another... You skip... Basically, when you make a note, you start on your root note, and then you just skip one in the scale.
Mm-hmm.
So you just go...
Well, let's demonstrate for the kids at home with my guitar here, which is, sorry, it's slightly out of tune, but say you have a C,
and
then you have the 7th.
Yep.
Well, so but that's a C7th chord.
Yeah.
7th, and the 7th is?
The 7th C would be...
Would be B, D, and F major, which is like a minor diminished or something.
There's the 7th there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds so great.
Yeah. So what you're doing is you play a root, note. That's 1, and then the next one is your 3. And then normally you'd have a 5 on top of that. But what you've done is you're adding the 7. So you skip one. So you go 1, you skip 1, you add a 3. You skip 1, you add a 5. You skip 1, you add a 7th. And then you skip 1, you add a 9th. And you skip 1, you add a 13th. And that's what all 9 and 13s are. I don't know why someone didn't tell me this in school.
Right.
Because it's so simple. But that's when someone says a flat 7th, means you take the 7th and you flatten it. If it's a flat 9, you just skip a note in the chord and add it. It's so simple, I don't know.
This was the note, guys, that was out of tune. It's the B. Why is it always the B string, right? It just goes way all over. We're running out of time, guys.
I don't think we are.
Let's come back to that 1-3-5-4-2 and and maybe talk to another songwriter when they come in and talk about whether they compose that way.
Yes.
And I'm going to try that bass.
I compose that way.
Yeah?
Well, kind of, yeah.
Yeah?
To a limited extent, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's a great way of thinking of music, and it...
I'm much more simplistic. I go, oh, that sounds good together.
I wonder what that is. And that's what it really boils down to. I mean, you can do the theory, but if it doesn't sound good, it just doesn't sound good. Sometimes you throw in something that doesn't follow the rules and it sounds good, and you're like, great.
Well, that's why I stumbled on that A-add-9. I was trying to play an A minor, and I slipped.
Absolutely.
And then I had this whole song called Nipigon, right?
So anyways, exactly. You're listening to Song Talk Radio on the Scope at Ryerson in Toronto, Canada. This was the All Hosts Anything Can Happen show. Hope you enjoyed it. Anything did it. Don't forget, we would like, of course, you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. And we'd like to thank our guests, Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it. Mm. We'd like to thank CJRU, the Scope at Ryerson, for supporting us. We'd like to thank Janice Ho for tapping away. Get better, Janice. We miss you.
Janice.
And, of course, we'd like to thank you, the home listener. And please let us know what you think at feedback@songtalk.ca and on Twitter @songtalkradio using the #songtalk, on Facebook and at the YouTube @songtalkradio. And please stop by the website songtalk.ca and find out how you can be a guest on our show. You can follow Neil on...
Mondo Art.
You can follow me at thenoise_ca and Bruce.
At Bruce Harrod.
At Bruce Harrod.
Yeah.
And Janice, you can follow her at Janice Ho Tweets. And that's just all the time we have.
Can I do a shout out quick?
Yes.
Braden Mitchell tonight at the Piston, 9 o'clock. Piston near Ossington Station.
Yes.
Awesome,
in Toronto. Talented, that guy.
Awesome,
talented. Great show.
Braden Mitchell at the Piston tonight. If you're listening in Toronto live, go on out and see it.
Yes, please do.
Cool.
Well, thanks very much, guys. We'll see you this time next week. And keep on writing music,
everyone.
Keep on writing.
Good night,
everyone.
Good night.